Hello, and thanks for joining us for Soulpreneur Sessions. I'm your host, Yvette Luciano, helping you live your purpose, lift your platform, and leap into prosperity. If you want a career, business, and life that feels good on the inside, not just looks good on the outside, then you are in the right place. Welcome home. We are thrilled to have you here. Welcome to this brand new, not to be missed catch up with New York Times bestselling author of The Universe Has Your Back, Gabrielle Bernstein. I know that most of our listeners are definitely no stranger to Gabby. She is a frequent speaker and teacher in our Soulpreneurs course and community. And I've personally been working and collaborating with Gabby for, well, a few years now. And you are going to hear some really personal stuff about how all of that began in this episode. We're going to be talking about things that have never been shared before. But let me go back for a second and just say that if you don't know Gabby yet, I will let you know that Oprah calls her a next generation thought leader. She is a regular expert on the Dr. Oz show and the co-host of the Guinness World Records largest guided meditation with Deepak Chopra. Okay, so in this up close and very personal podcast episode, Gabby shares a little about her recent home move, moving away from the mountain house and expanding into her new home. We discuss the highs and the lows from last year, from trauma in personal life to huge success in professional life. Knowing when to pull away in a self-care cocoon and when to step up and shine bright in your business. We also talked about how Gabby prepared for her recent talk on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday, which is that incredible live talk that she did where she shared her personal fertility struggles. You'll also hear some great guidance on how you can confidently share your own transformational experiences and stories. Reflections on the journey of Gabby's recent and most successful best-selling book, The Universe Has Your Back. How Gabby continues raising her abundance mindset as her career continues to reach new epic heights. We talk about resilience and picking yourself back up. I share one of the most personal stories that I've ever shared on this podcast show. In this episode as part of that and sharing about resilience and picking ourselves back up when things in our business or our career don't go the way that we would have hoped or planned. We talk about knowing when you have outgrown parts of your business or your life, how to attract an aligned team for your business. And we wrap it all up with a really cool announcement and invitation for you to be able to work with Gabby and I in expanding your career. And if you want to jump straight into that, if you're not feeling patient, then you can jump over to soulpreneurs.com/Gabby Bernstein to see those details straight away. Otherwise, if you're happy to be patient, then please get comfy and just enjoy listening to this episode that you are not going to want to miss a single moment of.
Thank you for joining us, Gabby. It's always such a joy to collaborate with you. And I love when we get to bring the spirit junkies and the soulpreneurs together once a year. But it's a really exciting opportunity that will come to you later. But for now, please fill us in. How was your move? Tell us about the new place.
Well, first of all, I love you and I love all the Aussie soulpreneurs and all the soulpreneurs from around the world. So big love to you all. And I love you, Yvette. Thank you for having me here. But yeah, I just moved. It's been great. I'm so thrilled and so happy to be in my new home and had a heartfelt goodbye to my other home. And now I'm in a space where I can really spread out and create magic and bring new people and things into my world. And it's really good. It's really, really good. Thank you for asking. Yeah.
And do you feel that energetically, because you experienced so much in the mountain house, high highs, low lows, do you feel that this move has really been so energetically beneficial for you?
Yeah, you know, I think that I've had a lot of good karma with my homes. And something interesting, many, many years ago, probably 10 or 11 years ago, I remember I was living in a studio apartment in New York City on the ground floor in this like shitty little apartment. And there an apartment right above me came up for rent. And it had like a separate kitchen, you know, and it was a bigger studio with a separate kitchen. But the rent was like double. And I remember calling my 12-step sponsor at the time and saying, you know, I really feel like, you know, I need to move. I need to move up, but literally move up, right? But, you know, it's more money and it feels weird. And she said, your business is expanding, so your space has to expand. And this is at the very, very early stages of me really stepping in as a speaker, and I was 20, 25 years old, and I was really claiming my work. And she said, your business is expanding, you need to expand it. And she was 100% right. And that space actually wound up being where I led a lot of my coaching groups, and it became a very sacred space for me. But ultimately, that's been the case. Like, as my business and my life go to the next threshold, my space expands. And that's been going on for 10 years. So this is just, to see this new home as just like clear, directed guidance. And when I was contemplating coming into this home in my meditation, I saw visions of myself in the office that I'm sitting in right now. And I saw myself holding an infant, and I saw all of it. Like, this was way before, this was at a time when we actually, the house was sold. The house was in contract with somebody else, like somebody outbid us with a cash offer. And we thought we lost it. And in my meditation, I saw myself in my office with my infant. And I was like, huh, maybe we didn't lose it. And here we are. So I had that vision even when I thought I had lost it. So that was telling for me.
Yeah. And one of the beautiful things about the mountain house was that it was such a beautiful space for you to really go into a self-care cocoon, a soul healing cocoon that you needed last year. And because as we said that, you know, that it was a year of high highs, low lows for you. And really for a lot of soulpreneurs, a lot of people that come through Junkie Masterclass, a lot of people that want to step up as a healer or a coach, a lot of us have been through some kind of trauma in our life that, you know, the one beautiful thing about that is that it was an awakening to our higher purpose and what the work that we're here to do in the world. But could you please talk us through your journey and some advice for others on knowing when it's time to go into that sort of healing cocoon and step offline and step away from your work and the light, the spotlight, and then when it's time to step back into it or step out into the spotlight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, 2015 was the hardest year of my life, and then 2016 was kind of the culmination of all of it. Ultimately, in 2015, I was just cracking into what in 2016 I realized was a traumatic memory. And I've shared very publicly about this, so people may have seen some of my talks about my recalling these memories from my childhood. And if anyone's had a memory recall, they know how terrifying it is. It's truly debilitating because you go back into the memory, and in many cases, you know, for a while, a good while, you kind of live there. Like, I was kind of stuck there in that frequency for a minute, and I was very, very, very scared, and also quite shocked by what was revealed. And also at the same time, very relieved because I was finally understanding why I was a drug addict and why I was running and why I became a workaholic. And I really realized this is why I am who I am. It's kind of an interesting experience of fear and terror and relief at the same time. And I went through this experience with a really, really big desire to heal. I put myself into like around the clock healing with all of my guides and teachers and anyone from a therapist to an acupuncturist to an energy healer. And by the grace of God, I was very blessed to have a lot of people that supported me. And while I was going through that, I was preparing for my biggest book launch to date and many other launches of programs and teachings and trainings. And I had to be in the world. But I think to answer your question, I think that our higher self knows when we're ready to receive difficult circumstances. And strange things can happen. You know, the funny thing was not funny, but you and I were planning an event in Australia, and I just kept being like, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think this is right. And it had nothing to do with you or coming to Australia. But I heard, I signed the contract with Hay House, and I was planning an event with you. And I had heard my intuition say, you're not going to go. You're not, this isn't going to happen. Cancel the contract. And it was such a loud voice that I couldn't deny it. So I canceled the contract, not knowing why. And what wound up happening was the week that I was supposed to be in Australia was the same week that I remembered my trauma. So I believe your higher self is always tracking with you what is the right timing of things. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, definitely. Oh my God.
And so to really answer your question, Yvette, I, you know, because I think that there was divine timing involved in all of this, the strangest thing was that I had 2 months where I wasn't meant to be anywhere. I didn't have any speaking engagements. I was completely had free runway. And those 2 months, I hibernated. I was doing only personal growth work. I was just turned everything over to my team and just said, I cannot do anything but deal with my own healing. And really, you know, by the time I was ready to go out and give that first talk, I was ready because I had done enough healing to do that. And I think that you shouldn't rush it and you shouldn't talk about what you're going through until you're fully embodying it and fully ready to talk about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things in this is that it's so beautiful that you were so tapped in to the voice and the intuition and that it, you know, yes, it's a miracle that you had that faith, because I know that you never have faith in your schedule like that. Like a couple of months of faith in your schedule is wild. But you were so tapped in. And I know that through so many parts of your career, it is, the magic does happen simply because you are so tapped into that intuition. So can you give us, but if someone's listening who isn't super familiar with your work, is there just one, what is the one core? I know that there's a lot of things that you do and a lot of things that you teach, but if someone could adopt just one of your practices to really tap into that intuition for their business, for their health, for their for all the decisions, to make all of these decisions so much easier, what's the one practice that you would suggest?
To make your highest priority feeling good. If your intention every day is to feel good, then everything else in your life works out. Then your career works out, relationships work out. And now that doesn't mean that we avoid difficult circumstances or we ignore discomfort, but showing up for discomfort is actually part of working towards feeling good. So even when I was going through these scary times and I was depressed, it's my intention was always to feel better. And so I would go to my therapy and I'd feel my feelings and I would do emotional freedom technique and I would do EMDR, all within the service of getting to a better vibration. So if you make your daily desire to feel good, no matter how low you are, just to reach into a higher space and a better way of feeling, then you can trust that the desires you have will come to you. The lifestyle you want to have will start to unfold. And people will want to support you and your physical health will get better and abundance will flow to you naturally and everything will begin to unfold perfectly for you as you begin to make feeling good your highest priority.
Beautiful. So let's talk about recently you did an absolutely incredible Oprah Super Soul talk that pretty much everyone listening would have seen. If you haven't seen it, I'll put it in the notes of the podcast, link to that. Now, it's absolutely one of the best that we've ever seen. How did you prepare for that talk. And can you take us a little bit behind the scenes of confidently sharing our own transformational experience in a talk?
So I did a lot of preparation for that talk because I find that the more I prepare, the more I can let go. And I think that's really an important lesson because when I'm on stage, I have a desire to be an untethered force of light. That's what I put at the top of all of my outlines and my notes for my talks, with untethered force of light. That's my intention. But for me to be untethered, I need to really know where the journey is that I'm taking people on. And I need to have it in my being so that I can then let go and allow. So for that talk, which was particularly hard for me because it was only 18 minutes, you have to understand I typically have at least 2 hours to give a presentation. So just 18 minutes was very difficult for someone that's used to having a lot of space. So I needed to really hit certain beats and keep the story going and get to the point. So I worked really diligently on crafting the story and at the same time being open to letting new things come through. I also did something new with this talk that I'd never done before, which is I was walking a lot at the time, taking a lot of daily walks. And I'd walk and walk and walk. And while I was walking, I would do the talk out loud to myself. And strangely, I would time myself every single time. It was 18 minutes on the dot. It was so funny that I was by the minute. It was crazy. And so I really did my part to show up for it and practice the talk. And the most important thing I did was that while I was practicing the talk, I was allowing myself to be moved by it and brought to tears with emotion. And that emotion is really what I believe people connect to most. So by the time I got on the stage, or by the time I arrived in LA and walked in the door and gave Oprah a hug as I'm walking in the door, and I'm like, could be easily in this very, very ego-driven, scared, separate space, I really wasn't. I was so connected and clear on my purpose for the day and clear on the mission that I had, which was to teach people how to let go of uncertainty and surrender. That was my intention for the day, was to teach spiritual surrender. So ultimately, it unfolded beautifully because I got out of the way. That's really the most important thing.
Mm. And when you were on stage, so a question that we get asked a lot in our Solopreneurs course is how much emotion, it's either how do I not cry on stage when I'm sharing my story, or how much emotion do you think is okay for me to show when I'm sharing my story?
Now, well, first of all, why not cry, right? Why not cry? Yeah. I think that there's a difference between losing your shit and just, being welling up.
Absolutely. I love the thing as well of that, it's also all about how the audience is feeling during that experience. So if you're having a little, if you're doing your talk and a couple of tears come through and the audience can either be super, really touched by that, they can really see the human in you. And that's definitely what I always feel when I see you have a few tears on stage. I'm actually always touched by that. My heart is always touched by that. That's different to feeling like we're in a counseling session, like I'm watching it. It's different to...
Definitely.
That feeling of if someone's on stage and they're crying and you almost want to just get up and go and hug them, but sort of pull them off the stage because you feel like they're too vulnerable and you want to just make them safe and comfortable.
Yeah.
A little bit of a difference, whereas when you do it, when many other people do it, it's actually more, it touches your heart and it's very inspiring to know that this person is sharing something that's so touching to them with you without it feeling like you need to be counseling them or something like that.
Yeah, no, you're making a really good point. I think there's a big difference between being vulnerable and being a mess. So you know the difference. And if something's too close to home, then you risk the potential of being a mess. So you want to know where you are with your story and where you are within your story at that time.
Yeah.
So you don't turn into a hot mess on stage.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And with your talk, because I know a lot of our listeners are either already speakers or would love to be a speaker one day, and this is what I love, because you go into this so, so deeply and through a Junkie Masterclass. There's you know, such a massive part of your program that is all about this. But what are some, you know, top level suggestions that you would have for someone who's never done a talk before and getting over their public speaking fears and their fears of being seen and heard in that way?
So getting over their fears of being seen.
Their public speaking fears, yeah.
You know, I think that the, you know, listen, I think that you need to know what you're comfortable with. Like, some people don't necessarily want to be on stage. And maybe the nature of their work is that they have to be for a little bit here and there, and I can give you tips on how to do that. But if it's something that does not bring you joy, there are other ways to communicate a message beyond being a speaker, okay? So there's difference between someone who's like, it terrifies me, it doesn't bring me joy, but I know I need to do it, right? That's one type of person. There's another person who's like, it terrifies, it doesn't bring me joy, and I think I should be doing it. If you're someone who's saying, I think I should be doing it, that is not the place to be a speaker from, because that will never work. If you're someone that's scared and you want guidance on how to get to that stage and be free, but because you know that you're meant to do it, I can help you. But if you think you should be doing it, then I think I would encourage you to say, what else could you be doing that would be more within your zone of genius? Because look, you know, Yvette, I am not going to go and be a money manager. I should not be dealing with, you know, numbers and investments. And like, I can be smart about my own investments, but I'm not going to go run somebody else's. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go and be a heart surgeon. Like, there's certain things that I'm not meant to do, okay? I'm meant to be a public speaker. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you need to know what your zone of genius is. And I think you need to know how you're being called to communicate. Because there's many ways to communicate these days. You can communicate through a podcast, you can communicate through a blog, you can communicate through a book, you can communicate through an intimate one-on-one session or a group coaching workshop. You don't have to be standing on a stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people to be a communicator. So I want to make that really clear, because you may be listening right now and I'm going to give you permission to decide that maybe public speaking isn't for you, or to say, you know what, it is for me, even though I'm scared of it. So there's, you know, just know who you are in this. Are you avoiding it because you're afraid of it, or are you thinking that you should be doing it? So just identify that first. You know, not everybody has to communicate the same way. Now, if you're someone that wants to be a speaker and you just feel terrified about getting on stage, some of the things that I really recommend, and I teach this very thoroughly in the Spirit Shakti Masterclass, is knowing your story and trusting in your story and trusting that your story is what heals. And your story is what makes you an expert, because you've been through it, because you've had an experience and you've had strength and you've had hope and you've had commitment to change. You've seen miracles in your own life. And through your own transformational story, you have a message. And that message, when it comes through you in an authentic, vulnerable way, has the power to heal in a profound way. So knowing and owning your story and accepting that your story is profoundly important and has great, great service and purpose in this world. And then really crafting your story in a way that you can really follow and take people and have people track with you and take people on a journey. And then as you take people on a journey through that story, you'll share with them the lessons that you've learned. The more clear you are on the outline of where you're going, the easier it is to be fearless when you're on that stage. Then the key to being fearless on stage is to breathe and to drop in, to get out of the way, drop in. So when I say drop in, tune into the connection of a higher power of your own understanding. Just step out of the way and let the voice of inspiration speak through you.
Absolutely. I think one of the greatest lessons that I've personally learned from you. So a few years ago, so I do so much public speaking now, and I it really, and it was always something that absolutely scared the crap out of me. So even when I was in a band, I hated being on stage. I loved organizing the gigs and everything, but I hated being on stage. I would get all the stage fright. Mm. And that's why I ended up working more in the music industry behind the scenes, because that was where I definitely felt more comfortable. But also I loved that. I loved helping other people sort of step into their spotlight. But it wasn't until, a couple of years ago when we were doing your Throat Junkie Australia tour together, you changed my life so many times during that tour, and in ways that still, and that your friendship and your mentorship and your support has impacted my life in so many ways, and it really started on that tour. But one of the things was that I started to realize that public speaking was something that I wanted to explore in my future. It wasn't like, yeah, I want to do it now. It's like, I feel like in my future, this is something that I will own up to the fact that, yeah, it is part of my destiny. It's part of what I'm meant to do in this next part of my life. Mm-hmm. And the biggest lesson that I received from you, you personally, and of course through your Spirit Junkie Masterclass, was that it's not about you, that it's not about you. And the amount of times that I've heard you say it's not about you, it's so ingrained in my brain, and our solopreneurs hear me say it over and over again now. I just like, it's just so ingrained because I just say it to myself over and over and over again before I step onto a stage, before I do a Facebook Live, before I release something new. It's not about you, it's not about you, it's not about you. And just, letting the soul of this message, the soul of this business, the soul, just come through me and not making it about me. And it's such an important thing that you teach. I don't know anyone that teaches it as powerfully as you do, particularly in masterclass. So I'm so grateful for that, because I never would have thought. And people say it's, one of my friends actually saw me speak. I was co-hosting a thing with her recently, and she hadn't seen me speak for about 2 years. I actually think maybe the first time that the last time that she saw me speak was introducing you on your tour.
Oh, wow.
And she hadn't seen me that whole time since. And she was just like, how did this happen? You're just so confident and articulate. Mm. Would never think that you're the shy little backstage girl. Like, that, I can't believe it. And I really put it down to you, Gabby. And I just can't imagine that it would have happened any other way. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Mm. You are the ultimate speaking coach, the ultimate so everyone that does Throat Junkie Masterclass is just, and I know that for my solopreneurs that have done it, that they're the ones that are so confident in getting out there and just,
And I think that you nailed it. You know, it's like any of the work that we do, when we get out of the way, that's when it really shines. And I've seen for myself, particularly in the last year, the level of humility I've had to embody as a result of what I've gone through, and just also just accepting my purpose and the work that I'm really here to do. That humility is, and the stepping aside has been the key to the successes I've had in the last year. I've had more success in the last year in my business. I've stepped out of it more than I've ever had in my life. I've had more success, health-wise and relationship-wise, and things that are going on in my life have been thriving, the more that I step out of them and stop trying to make anything happen. So this doesn't mean that there isn't an importance in hustling and showing up and taking action, but I've learned how to take action from a place of faith and surrender, and a place of really allowing others to help me and allowing the universe to help me ultimately.
So let's talk about The Universe Has Your Back, because this book has just, it's been wild. And I would love for you to share with us a little bit about the behind the scenes. So everyone knows the success of this book and I'm sure that most of our listeners have read the book several times. And can you take us a little bit behind the scenes, particularly for the authors and the aspiring authors that are listening? What are some lessons that you learned in the writing and also the promoting journey of the universe?
Well, The Universe Has Your Back has been my most successful book, and it's pretty much the answer is because it's the best one, like in the sense that not because it was the best launch or the most strategic marketing plan, it's because it's the most vulnerable book I've written. And the fact that, you know, I wrote it in the hardest year of my life, and I really got honest, and I was very vulnerable. And so that has a resonance. And I remember submitting the book to my publisher, and she wrote back and she said, "This is your biggest book. This is the one." And I was like, what do you mean? She said, this is the best. This is the book that will take on a life of its own, meaning it will have that sort of word of mouth effect.
Yeah.
And she knew, I mean, this is someone who's read senior acquisitions at Hay House. She's read books for decades. And she just said, "This is it. This is the one." And she knew because of the nature of the vulnerability of the book. And that's what she said. So I think that the key to having a successful book is, number one, to write a good book and to be real and be authentic and be vulnerable. And then there's some things you can do to get the book out into the world. But, you know, a lot of that is really just letting God show you how to do it, because everyone's at different levels in their career and their audience. And so if I told you my strategy for, you know, how I spread the message, that's very, very helpful. And I teach that in my masterclass training, and I give people like the pathway to creating a number one New York Times bestseller. And I'm, you know, I have the method, right? But more importantly, it's just really being lit up by the idea and the process and the content. And, you know, I was just so proud of this book. And I was, this when I saw the galley cover of the book, I was like, this is it, man. I am so psyched. And so that momentum just carried me. And I submitted, I wrote another book right when I launched that book, and that same week that I launched the book, sold my sixth book, which is called Judgment Detox, and it will be out in January. I wrote that book December, January, February, March, submitted in March. So I wrote it in 4 months. I felt the same feeling submitting that book that I felt submitting Universe. It was just like, this is good. This book has healed me. This book has helped me. I think that's another thing you want to check in. Does your book heal you? Particularly with Judgment Detox, because it's something that's so pervasive, is that I have to actually go back and reference my own book. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign. I have to go back and reference the lessons in my own book so that I can feel better. You know, you have a fucking home run when you are referencing your own content to see if you can feel better. So that's up. I have the same enthusiasm, excitement, joy, and just pride in this new book. So I know it will be a number one New York Times bestseller. I know it will have the exact amount of success as Universe, if not more, because there's just so much momentum behind it. The real key is to just be so in love with the content that joy and excitement and enthusiasm just creates so much momentum that the seas part for you and energy beyond your own takes over. And intuitive ideas step in, and people that need to support you come over, and you know the team is there, and the readers are ready, and all of that is about your enthusiasm and excitement and passion for the work that you do.
So true. That's so true. And I'd love to talk about how, because that book has definitely taken your career to whole new heights. And I mean, your entire career over the last couple of years has just stepped it up so powerfully. And I mean, we touched on it at the beginning about the move, and that it was kind of the moving into the expanding your in all parts of your life. So can we talk for a sec about how you keep raising your limits and your abundance mindset and expanding your abundance mindset in a way that could help people who are right at the beginning. Like, they're literally struggling to make ends meet while they're starting up their coaching business, or they're writing their first book, or starting their first blog. Can we talk about, in general, so when we go back, like, to the beginning of how you created such an incredible abundance mindset and what you keep doing now to keep lifting those limits?
Well, I'm glad that you're so tuned into the language, which is that it is an abundance mindset. It's abundance merely is the belief in abundance. The more, I want to give you the exact quote. I Instagrammed something beautiful, an Abraham quote yesterday, Abraham Hicks quote about abundance. And it's, whenever I feel abundant, abundance finds me. I mean, how, come on, how awesome is that? Whenever yeah. I feel abundant, abundance finds me. So a lot of people think, you know, I've got to go make something happen, and I've got to force something to happen, I've got to get these things going. And ultimately, the irony is that you have to feel it. And then when you're taking action from a place of feeling abundant, then the action is supported. So you don't just sit around and feel. I mean, yes, you can sit around and feel and things will happen for you, but you want to take action. So, you know, the concept of when I feel abundant, abundance finds me, is that it's a mentality, it's a belief system, it's an energy, it's an excitement, it's an enthusiasm, and it's a lack of resistance. When you're in the absence of resistance around financial abundance, abundance finds you. When you resist financial abundance and you're in a story of I can't have it, or I'm not good enough, or everyone's done it already, then that will be your reality as well. And ultimately, you're just sending out a message to the universe that I am ready to receive, or I am in disbelief. So the more, rather than, I would say, to really get into an abundance mindset and to receive more abundance in your life, the work is less about how hard you work and more about how good you feel. That is the main message.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautiful. And but what about people who say, but I don't even feel comfortable earning money from my healing work, from my spiritual work? What do you say to that?
This is something I hear all the time. It's a huge myth that you can't be abundant for when you do service-oriented wellness spiritual work. I mean, that's insane and crazy for many reasons. One, because it's in denial of what spirituality means in general, right? So if you are on a spiritual path and you are in an ever-present energy of love, that ever-present energy of love attracts more ever-present love. That love is abundance. That love is romance. That love is perfect health. That love is a baby. That love is a comfortable home that you dream of. So if you have a belief system that says it's not spiritual to earn for my great work, that's not a very spiritual belief system. How about that? Okay. Just because any belief system that's resisting love is out of alignment with what I believe to be a spiritual path. So don't judge yourself for having those beliefs. That's totally understandable. But just see it as misalignment, and see it as a story that you picked up along the way, a story that you chose to believe in, a story that's severely holding you back from great work that you're meant to do. The other thing about it is that if you don't allow yourself to be abundant, then you can't allow yourself to flourish and thrive in the work that you're here to do. If you can't pay your bills, then you can't go and serve. I mean, not that you can't serve. Of course you can. There's a beautiful story I read yesterday, actually, about a homeless man who was like saving people in the Ariana Grande attack in England. There was a homeless man who was always on that subway platform, and he was just like saving people's lives. And he said something like, just because I'm homeless doesn't mean I can't serve people and save people. So mm-hmm. The message isn't that I don't want to in any way say that you can't be of service if you don't have abundance. But the more you can take care of yourself, the more you can care for others. And so the abundance that you, being unapologetic about your abundance, only creates more space for you to have the freedom to be creative and have the potential to feel physically well and sleep well and eat well and take care of yourself as you continue your journey of service. So, you know, for you and I, it's like your abundance allowed you to hire me to come to Australia, which then allowed us to serve thousands of people, right? That was because you had the abundance to afford to do that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, perfect example. It's like, if you were in a lack mentality, you would have said, no, I can't afford your fee and we're not going to do it. But your abundance mentality said, I can afford that. Let's do that. And the tour wound up being very abundant for you, you know? Yeah. So that is exactly how this works.
Absolutely. I love that. That's such a great example. I'm going to use that example for now. And it's such a good one.
Totally.
This ties into the next question that I would love to ask. So I want to ask a question about resilience in our career and in our business. So I was pretty open recently with some of our solopreneur students about a big financial loss that I had years ago in my business, and that I wasn't ready to be open about it at that time, but I can now. And what I shared was, because obviously a lot of people, when they're starting up their businesses or when they're in their first couple of years of businesses, or really even 20 years into our business, we can make a mistake. We can make a mistake that costs us a lot of money, that is a failure, it's a flop, it's embarrassing. It also can put us into a place of real financial difficulty. It can make us want to just shut down our business and never do this work at all and just go and get a very safe, simple job, which in some cases that's the best idea. But I was very open about that at one point in 2014, when my business with Earth Events was really at such a great time and at such, I don't know, and it was just, I had all this opportunity and all these things coming to me and it was so fantastic and I had this team and it was all great. But then I made a decision to work on a project that was actually out of alignment for me. I was doing the project because I thought it was going to make me look cool, going to make my business look cool, that it was going to be, every time that I would sit down to try to justify why I was doing it, it was like, oh, it's going to be really great for the profile of my business. It's going to be really great for, you know, and it was always something, there was never actually anything about, oh, because I deeply, deeply feel called to do this project. There was nothing deep within me. Anyway, long story short, I got a bit hustled, or a bunch of stuff happened. I lost so much money. I lost more money than I had made even in total the year before on this one project. But this is the thing. I was ready and I was in this position of going, okay, I don't think I can do this. I think I should just shut my business down. I think I should just go and get a job. I'll go back in the music industry or something. Anyway, but I made the decision and I felt deeply, deeply called, and I worked with some healers and all sorts of people to try to help me through that failure and that embarrassment and that serious loss of income that had serious loss of money that had a massive income on my husband and I at that time. But the answers that I kept getting every time I was walking down the beach or every time I was driving home from a healer's place was, you still have some serious work to do here. Pick yourself back up. Just trust me. I just felt this sense of overwhelming, like the soul of my business is just like, trust me, have faith, just trust me. There is still serious work to do. So what I did was, I kind of look back and I don't even know how I picked myself back up from that, but I did. Now, the very next project that I worked on after that was with you. Was the tour with you, which was,
oh wow, I would never have known
so
that.
Successful in every possible way. Of course, financially and you know, all that kind of thing, and the business just kind of exploded. But within my soul, it was probably one of the most, you know, it was one of the greatest successes for my soul, for my fulfillment, for my deep fulfillment. And I remember. And then also we went straight from that to another And then we wrapped up your beautiful, successful tour and went straight into the next big tour that we had. That was a couple of months of a tour that went even to the next level of success.
Right.
And so I actually went from my greatest failure of my entire career, my greatest financial loss of my entire career, to the two most successful in every possible way projects that I had done to that day. So so I've recently shared that story with my solopreneurs, but so it's the first time I'm kind of coming out a little bit more and talking about it. And I won't go, and I can't go into the specific details of it because I do need to respect that it was a partnership with someone else that, you know, I need to keep them anonymous. But you don't know this, I don't think. Isn't that funny? I'm just realizing that.
I think it's beautiful, and I think it's, you know, such a great example, because at the time, if you were just having come out of such a loss, the vibration that I felt from you was only a vibration of abundance. And that's actually why I went, because I'm not going to travel across the world, you know, unsure of whether someone's going to pay me or not, right? So, you really embodied your faith in abundance, and you didn't actually take that step and make that financial investment unless you were in alignment with it. So I just want to give you like a virtual pat on the back for actually truly aligning yourself before you made that commitment. And then that's really important lesson for everyone, which is that, you know, we all have struggles in our lives, whatever they may be. Some people struggle financially, some people struggle physically, romantically, however you struggle, and don't take action until you're back in alignment. And had you taken action any minute sooner, I wouldn't have come, period, end of story. I would not have come. So, because I would have felt it, right? You have to really align with the energy of, for lack of a better word, the energy of the universe, the energy of God, the energy of faith when you're taking action. And so if you're not in that place, then your work isn't to take action. Your work is to release the resistance to that presence.
Absolutely. And the greatest thing is that once you've had the flop, the failure, because I've been very lucky in a lot of my business and career to have a lot of just, I don't know, flow and abundance and just things just working. But it's really funny because when people say to me, you have the Midas touch, or everything you touch turns to gold. And recently the more that I've sat with that, the more that I've felt uncomfortable with that, because I'm like, no, that's actually not true. I'm just not being transparent in a wider way about the things that I do that actually do flop and don't work out and don't have and are disappointments.
Right.
But the greatest thing is that when you've been through that, you know, at least once, and you've come back out the other end and you've come into the end so much success in every way, the next time it happens, you kind of go, okay, well, I'm sure that my next big success is just around the corner. So I just got to get back. I got to get my energy back into flow, into vibration, and then just keep moving forward, because
the greatest way you can serve others also is by being honest. And that's a great message for your listeners too, is just being honest about the ways you screw up. And I think that that's why people resonate with me as a teacher, is because I've been truthful and honest, and I tell the truth, and I tell you all the ways that I screw up and all the ways that I come back.
absolutely. And one question on that though, and is, when do you think it's time in our career, our business, when we are, so you have so many things that you work on in the year. I know that you've calmed down and that's awesome, and now you just have your sort of priority project, which is beautiful. How do you know when it's time to let something go? Or whether it's a partnership, or whether it's a partnership with a, you know, business partner or a collaborator, or whether it's a particular product or program, when do you know that it's time to let something go, to take it
when off? It's not, if it's not feeling good, then it's time for an adjustment or a let go, right? So, you know, you have to really follow your good feeling emotions. And if it's not feeling good, then you know you need to do something, right? The letting go part is when you feel that you've learned all that you need to learn from it. That's when it's time to let go.
Yeah, Beautiful. I love that. I love that because I know a lot of our solopreneurs do ask this question of, as their businesses evolve, as their careers evolve, when is it time to let go of certain things? When have things, so I think the answer to that, yeah, is when, perhaps when you've outgrown it, when you've learnt the lessons and
yeah,
beautiful. And one of the last questions that I'll ask for today is about your team. So you now have the best team. Can you share a little bit of advice, guidance for the solopreneurs and spirit junkies who are looking to perhaps hire their first assistant or expand their team? What are some of the things that you've learned through that experience?
Well, I have the best team ever, like the most epic group of people ever. I am so grateful for this group of people that I believe God brought to me and my husband to run this business with us. And I think the way that I've got this team is like the law of attraction 101. Like the second that I became willing to receive help, they came, because it was like, I just had to get out of the way. I spent 11 years in the way trying to do it all myself, believing that if I don't do it, nobody else will do it. And as a result of doing that, I really got myself into a tremendous amount of trouble. I was, you know, I was burning myself into the ground. The moment that when I started dealing with my trauma and having to show up for my own spiritual healing, I had no choice but to let people help me. And so that was an uncomfortable way to surrender, but it was how I surrendered ultimately. And then at that point in time, it's like over a year ago now, I just hit bottom and surrendered and invited and let it in. And then being in that surrendered state, intuitive ideas of who to hire came to me. People that were already hovering around me trying to help, I let them step in. And the team grew and grew and grew. And now it's just like the most magnificent group of people who I expect will be working with me, hopefully for a very long time, because not only do they have a great level of respect for me and the work I do, but I have a great level of respect for them and the work that they do and their unique gifts and their genius. And I just rely on them, and I believe in them, and I can definitely write a book about attracting team, because it was something that I resisted for 11 and a half years. And when I was, once I cleared that space, they came right in. So I think a lot of the way to attract a good team is to get out of the way and be in a receptive mode, and then let, you know, then intuitively hire from a place of intuition. Not logic. Intuition brought me the most incredible group of people.
Beautiful. And the last question is, because I have to ask this, because this is the question that I get at least once or twice a week, is when is Gabby coming back to Australia? So I have to ask.
Between you and Leon's like, when are you coming in 2018? The answer is I am coming back. The answer is I'm going to come back. I'll try to come for a month so that you and I can do something major. We can do some stuff with Hay House, but we can just have like major, 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 major return to Australia. So the answer is I am coming. I can see myself there. We'll have little babies running around. It'll be a big deal. So I can see it very clearly. So I don't have a date, but I have a yes. The answer is we're coming back.
And it's going to be super fun, and it's going to be super well worth the wait.
It'll be really worth the wait. You'll all just be like, hell yeah, ready to go. Okay. But in the meantime, you know, there's ways to connect with me. I mean, as you're sharing here, my spiritual energy masterclass is probably the biggest deep dive into my world, is out right now. So everybody can find that about it at your show notes link. And that's probably, if you really want to go big with me, you'll have 30 hours of Gabby in that training. So dive in.
Huge. And as always, I love bringing the spirit junkies and the soulpreneurs together. So that's why I offer you the incredible opportunity to bundle up Spirit Junkie Masterclass with soulpreneurs and really take this beautiful career of yours to the next level and because first you get to really deep dive with Gabby and learn everything that just all this, I've seen it. The proof is in the pudding. I've seen it, not only the impact in my life and my career and my business, but that of so many solopreneurs who really, when people do solopreneurs and Spirit Junkie Masterclass, they are unstoppable. They are unstoppable. They are limitless. Things just work. And it is so obvious. You can tell the very, very clear, there's a very, very clear difference when people have really done the work together. And so that's why I'm so stoked to be able to give you guys this incredible bonus bundle. So all the information is just at soulpreneurs.com/Gabby Bernstein, and it's all in the show notes as well. And yeah, jump into it.
Jump in, everybody.
Gabby and I cannot wait to work with you. So let's do it.
Thank you so much for sharing this episode with us. And please remember to share it with your friends, share it with the people that you know need to hear some of what Gabby and I discussed today. And also don't forget that if you are feeling that it's time to really step up in your career and business and would love the opportunity to work with Gabby and I, then please jump over to soulpreneurs.com/Gabby Bernstein. And I'll see you over there. Thank you for your time and joining us here for Soulpreneur Sessions. Please remember to subscribe for updates and share this episode with your friends. Soulpreneur Sessions are created especially for you to live your highest purpose. So please let us know what future episodes, topics, or guests would be most helpful for you. Or if you do want more info right now about the Soulpreneur courses and coaching available to you, please visit soulpreneurs.com. or email us at team@soulpreneurs.com. We love you. Have a beautiful day, and we will catch you next time.